Good morning. We appreciate your presence this morning, and we have visitors, and we're thankful that you're here, and we hope that you'll come back as you have opportunity. It's good to have those with us that have been away and are now back, and those who are visiting, we appreciate you being with us. And we're going to talk a little bit this morning about what we can learn from Jesus' death. And I want us to begin in our scripture reading this morning in Philippians chapter 3. In the scripture reading that we had, and some comments that Paul makes there for our admonition this morning. Over the past few weeks, we've been wrapping up the life of Jesus Christ, and we've been looking at His death on the cross, and I want to talk a little bit this morning about what we can learn from Jesus on how to die. Learning from Jesus how to die. Of course, the death of Don Rademacher is also on our mind. We will miss him. We will miss his presence. We will miss his activity in the church, leading singing, and those memorable Wednesday night talks with visual aids, and the other good things that he did while he was with us. We will certainly miss that. For those of you who want to see that live stream program, if you will go to neil-tarpley.com, if you will click on the obituaries, you'll see Don's obituary there, and then scroll down, you'll see the live stream information. Put your information there, and you can view that. They tell me that that will be there for 90 days. But it's good to see you this morning, and I hope that we can learn from Jesus how to die. In our scripture reading in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11 and following, Paul does three things. He talks about his past life, he talks about his present life, and he talks about his future life. In verse 7, he talks about his past life that he had in Judaism. He was willing to leave that behind to come to the knowledge of Christ, to become a child of God, to be baptized into Christ. In verse 10, he talks about his present life and what he wants to know and fully know, what he wants to have in his life in the present. And then, starting in verse 12 and 13 and 14, he talks about his future life, what he wants to press on and be. I love the Apostle Paul, and we need to be like him. Paul was not an aimless drifter. He didn't get up each day and just aimlessly drift around in life. He knew where he came from. He knew what he wanted in the present. He knew what he wanted in the future. And actually, we need to be more like that in our lives. We don't need to aimlessly drift spiritually. But I want us to consider this morning what Paul says in verse 10 about his present life and what he wants to know. I want to know him. Not book knowledge. The him is Jesus. Not book knowledge. But to have a close relationship with Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead, Paul wanted to be raised to walk in newness of life and that new life as a Christian, the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul wanted to suffer with Christ. That would show that he is on the Lord's side. He was willing, and boy, did he suffer for Christ. And then look at what he says in verse 10, becoming conformed unto his death. Some newer versions say, becoming like him in his death. How do we become like Jesus in his death? That's what we want to explore this morning. Paul and we need to become like Jesus in his death. Now, Paul didn't have in mind, I want to be crucified like Jesus was. That's not what he had in mind. Paul did not have in mind the purpose of Jesus' death was to save mankind from their sins. We cannot die in that same way. But there are other things about Jesus' death that we can become like Him in those aspects, and that's what we want to talk about this morning. Given the fact that Don's passing is on our minds, I thought I would speak one more time on this topic, and it also goes well with wrapping up the life of Christ, that we've been looking at His death over the past few weeks, and I want us to become like Him in His death. Can we do that? I hope we can. So this morning, I want to look at some characteristics of Jesus' death and how we need to become like that. Now, when you look at the title of my lesson, Learning from Jesus How to Die, you might be thinking, oh, wait a minute. How do you learn how to die? You can go to school and learn some subjects. You can learn math and science and history. You can learn a vocation. You can learn a sport. You can learn a hobby. You can learn how to play a game. How do you learn how to die? Isn't that something that is so far off out into the future that you don't learn how to die, you just die? No, we can learn how to die. Just like we can learn other things. And we should learn how. And that really is the problem with many people in the world. They've not learned how to die. They just sort of, we just die. We're actually supposed to learn ahead of time from the Scriptures how to approach that day that is coming. And there's no better person to learn from than Jesus Christ. In fact, as I was putting this lesson together, all of these points, I thought I could change the title to Learning from Paul How to Die. He did these same things in his life, and we need to have these things in our life. So let's consider Jesus and how He approached death. Again, we're not talking about, well, we're going to die on a cross, or we're going to die for the forgiveness of sins. We can't be like Jesus in that way. But how He approached His death, we can and must be like that. So let's consider that this morning. How did Jesus die? Well, first of all, Jesus died knowing that He would die. He died thinking about it and talking about it. You can turn to Mark chapter 8 and verse 31 with me, and this was brought out in class, how that different occasions, different times, Jesus brought up the fact that He was going to go to Jerusalem and die, and He began to teach them. You mean there's a lesson here? Look at that in your Bible, Mark 8, 31. You mean there's a lesson in death? He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And that's one of several places and times in the Gospels where Jesus did that. It wasn't just a one and done. He did that on different occasions. He thought about it. He talked about it. He knew that it was coming. Today, with so many people, don't talk about death. Don't bring that up. That's a hush-hush topic, and we're not going to talk about that, and I don't want to think about that. Brethren, we actually need to be the opposite. We talk all the time about the weather. We talk all the time about the news. We talk all the time about our family and our kids and what our grandkids are doing. We talk about all kinds of things. Do we ever talk about death and that we're going to die? I believe that's healthy and we can do that in a good way. You mean riding along in the car just bring up to that you're going to die? Yeah, that's a good thing to do. That's not morbid. That's not morbose. That's not something that is just a downer. It's good to talk about what's coming up. It encourages us to live right and face it right. That's a taboo topic. We don't talk about death here. Jesus talked about it on a regular basis. He taught them. So, yes,
It's good riding along in the car. You know, honey, I'm going to die one day. And I really hope such and such. That's a good thing. It's not something I believe that should be reserved for funerals only or the week of a funeral. It's something that we need to be thinking about and talking about and sharing with others. It's a very important thing because it makes us work toward that goal in a positive and good way. It's when we ignore it and don't talk about it and don't bring that up that maybe we're not living the way we need to live. So yes, Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. Just like talking about the judgment day, it's good to talk about how that we're going to die. Talk about that with your kids. Talk about that with your kids. Talk about that with your spouse and your parents and your family members and your friends. You're thinking, well, wait a minute, when I go golfing, I don't want to bring up death. Well, I'm not suggesting that the whole outing be on that topic, but it wouldn't hurt to just throw it in. Our world avoids it. Our world doesn't want to talk about it, and you can see why. They're not ready for it. Talk about it with your coworkers. Talk about it with friends and family. It's good to bring it up from time to time. Jesus died knowing that He would, and He thought about it, He talked about it, He taught about it. And that is nothing but good. How did Jesus die? Well, He knew that He would die, and He knew how He would die. He knew that He would die sacrificially. He knew that He would die and it would benefit others. In John chapter 10, verses 15 and 17, He said, I am going to lay my life down for the sheep. He knew that it would be what we call vicarious, which literally means from the Latin, in the place of. He knew that it would be vicarious. He knew that it would be in order to help others. And it was Caiaphas who said that it is expedient for this man to die for the people or to die for the nation. Let me ask you this. Are we even thinking that way? That I'm living and dying in order to sacrifice and serve for others? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. It may be in this life. But even if I am not dying for others in a specific moment, when I'm dead and gone, will I benefit others? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. I love this verse because it matches John 3:16. I don't believe John planned it that way. But John 3:16 matches 1 John 3:16. Hereby know we love because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Oh, you mean a sacrificial death. This, no doubt, became fulfilled literally and personally in the first century when first century Christians were persecuted to the point of death. Antipas and Revelation chapter 2 and others who died for the cause of Christ, and some of them no doubt laid down their lives for their fellow brethren in some way. I don't know how that would have happened on a daily or personal basis, but they were willing to do that. In the book of Revelation, we're told that they loved not their life even unto death. They didn't put their lives first. They died for the cause of Christ and other brethren. Are we going to be dying sacrificially? I don't mean for the sins of the world. That was taken care of with Jesus. I'm talking about, is it going to make a difference with anybody else where I am caring for them and helping them in some way when I pass from this life? Will my things go, my physical things, will they go to help others? Will my
influence and my reputation spread out and go and help others? Will my material things go out and help others? Am I going to die helping others? I need to. And I need to be working toward that. So much of death and dying today is almost inward and looking at what kind of a casket does this person want, and what kind of flowers, and what are they going to wear? What's the dress going to be, and what's the suit that they're going to have on? And it's all that kind of thing. Jesus never did any of that. It was always, I'm dying to serve and help others. There wasn't any thoughts about that. If anybody was thinking about, you know, the clothing, it would be Joseph of Arimathea or the women, but he wasn't talking about that kind of thing. But that's what we talk about today. I've been in on several of those conversations, and they're good conversations to have at the funeral home when the family meets ahead of time and they're making arrangements. I had to do that with my own father and burying my mother. That was difficult. But the conversation has to be what I just talked about, just those kinds of things. Well, what kind of flowers and what kind of casket and what are they going to wear? We need to be thinking, am I going to be blessing others when I pass from this life? What's going to live on? What's going to carry on? That's what I need to be thinking about. Turn with me to Luke chapter 23 and verse 46, when Jesus was dying on the cross. How did Jesus die? He died knowing that he was in fellowship with his Father. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Wow. Jesus died knowing that he was in fellowship with his Father, and he could turn his life over to God's hands. We're learning from Jesus how to die. We need to be dying in fellowship with the Father. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23. Are we so close that we can say, I'm going to commit myself to God? Peter writes, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. We're going to be talking about that in just a minute. But committed himself to him that judges righteously. Can we do that? Are we at the point in our life where we have been baptized into Christ and we are living faithfully each day? And when it comes time to pass from this life, I can commit myself to God. The angels will carry me into Abraham's bosom. Is that what's going to happen? If not, we need to change that. We need to make sure that we are in fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Well, didn't Jesus say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That is a quotation that we'll look at in just a minute, to emphasize his suffering and his grief and his sorrow and his pain and agony. It's not discussing separation from the Heavenly Father. He was in close fellowship with his Heavenly Father. And we need to be when we pass from this life. We need to clear up and clean up anything that might be in our life before it's everlasting too late. We don't want to depart like the rich man into torment. We want to depart, like Lazarus, into Abraham's bosom in paradise. We need to depart. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. We need to fall asleep in Jesus. That means we've been baptized into him, and we're living faithfully in him. And if that's not the case with someone we love and know, we need to talk with them. Because we don't know when we're going to leave this life. We need to fall asleep in Jesus. And Revelation 14:13, blessed are those who die in the Lord. That's where the blessed state is. It's not a blessed state if you die outside the Lord. But blessed are those who die in the Lord. We need to die in fellowship with our Heavenly Father. There is so much today where people, young people and others, they're just focused on this life and, you know, schooling and work and a car and a phone and this and that. We've got to think about the more serious things of life. Am I in fellowship with my Heavenly Father? We are learning from Jesus how to die. We learn that we've got to pass from this life in fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Will you and I do that? When Jesus died, He died knowing that He was dying like He lived. He died doing the Father's will, and that's how He lived. In John chapter 8 verse 29, Jesus said, "I always do the things that please my Father." Listen, brethren and friends, Jesus didn't die and at the very last minute change His life to make sure that it was all right, and He had a previous life that was all wrong, and then right at the last minute, He changed His life. He died like He lived. He died in fellowship with His Father because He was always in fellowship with His Father. We're going to talk in just a minute about some things that He said and did on His last day. He always said and did those things. Have you ever known of somebody that right toward the end of their life, all of a sudden, boy, they're talking differently and they're acting differently all of a sudden, and they're this and they're that. Jesus was not like that. He died like He lived. And that's exactly how we need to die. We don't change at the last minute and all of a sudden start getting Christian-like. We're saying and doing things at the very end the way we've always said and done them. That's the way we need to leave this life. Every once in a while, you'll hear about what we call a deathbed conversion. Every once in a while, you'll hear about somebody at the very last minute, they're baptized into Christ. That's fine. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who are, you know, pretty much a dirty, rotten scoundrel their whole life. And then all of a sudden, right at the end, you know, they want to kind of make amends, you know, right there at the end. Jesus didn't do that. And we need to die like we are living. You're like, what does that mean? We need to die like we're living. We need to be living now, and we pass away with the same words and deeds and thoughts and relationships. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. Paul said that he wanted to magnify Christ in his life. Think about that. Your life needs to be like a magnifying glass. And by the way, as I get older, I need those around. If someone wants to buy me that old-timey magnifying glass, I'll be glad to take, you know, that big circular one with a little handle and all of that? Because it seems like more and more I need a magnifying glass. It makes the image bigger. Paul said that I always want to magnify Christ in my body. Look at this. Whether by life or by death. He didn't say by life and then later not by death, or by death, but earlier in my life I didn't want to do it. By life or by death. Either way, I'm going to magnify Christ. I need to die like I'm living. And I need to live like I'm dying. We're not going to do that thing where right at the end, well, we just got to sort of turn everything around 180 degrees and start getting right. Jesus didn't do that. And when we look at some of the other points here in our lesson, I want you to understand Jesus did this His whole life. So let's be saying and doing and thinking those things now and carry them with us to the day that we depart.
how did Jesus die? He died knowing that his death would accomplish God's work and it would glorify God.
Do you remember in John chapter 11 when Jesus came to Lazarus and raised him from the dead? He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." Do you know that your death and mine is to have an aspect to it that is to glorify God? The way it was with Lazarus was it gave Jesus an opportunity to work a miracle later, to pray to his heavenly Father and work a miracle, and that brought glory to God. Death needs to bring glory to God. Our death. Turn with me to John chapter 12, just one chapter over. When Jesus is talking about his own impending and coming death, look at John 12:23. "The hour has come, the Son of Man should be glorified." Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10, "Whatever you do in word or in deed," that's going to include our death, "do all to the glory of God." Our passing needs to glorify God. How? By showing that we lived a faithful Christian life. Here is someone who they were baptized into Christ and they dedicated their life with all the sorrows and sufferings, with all the hardships, with all the errors and the problems and all the things that you go through. They went through all of that and they remained faithful to me. We need to glorify God in our death. "Except a grain of wheat," he compares his life to a grain of wheat falling into the earth and dying, "it abides by itself alone." Look at this. "But if it die, it bears much fruit." Here is how you also glorify God, that when the seed dies, it bears fruit. When I die, I need to be bearing fruit. What is my influence going to do after I die? It needs to go out and bear fruit. Maybe material things that I have. Go out and bear fruit. We don't want to be someone who's put in the cold ground and then just walk away and, well, that was it. There needs to be much fruit. Someone was saying to me yesterday, he came up after the funeral and he said, "I was Don's grade school Bible class teacher. I was his Bible class teacher." And I said, "Well, I bet you had a lot of why questions." Well, that man, as a Bible class teacher, bore fruit in Don's life. He had a Bible knowledge and he wanted to keep growing and learning. A Bible class teacher, their fruit will carry on. A preacher, an elder, a deacon, a faithful Christian in their good works and their hospitality and personal evangelism. There are people that are sitting in church pews this morning because someone talked with them about the gospel. And when all of these people pass away, it carries on. The Bible class knowledge of the teacher carries on. The Christian that was made so from personal work, the influence of preachers and elders and deacons and Bible class teachers and faithful brethren. We need to glorify God in our death and bear much fruit. Drop down a few verses to John chapter 12 and verse 32. "And if I be lifted up from the earth," his death, "will draw all men unto myself. By this he said, signifying by what manner of death he should die." It's a glorified death. It's a death that's going to bear fruit. It's a death that's going to draw people to God. So I ask the question, as I've been asking this morning, do we know that we're going to die sacrificially and in fellowship with the Father and these kind of things? Do we know that we need to be glorifying God in our life and in our death? And we just discussed this morning in Bible class, John 21:19. where Jesus said to Peter that your hands would be stretched out and what? The manner of death that he should glorify God, signifying by what manner of death he should glorify God. The beauty of that is literally up to our dying day, and including that day, we can glorify God. That's the beauty of that thing. We don't want to pass from this life having lived in such a way that somebody's thankful that we're gone. Well, I'm sure glad they're gone. But I wish they were still around. But even in their death, they are bearing much fruit, and they've glorified God. And as I mentioned earlier in Philippians 1:20, I'm going to magnify Christ in my body, Paul said, whether by life or by death. Even in death, he magnified Christ. Because whoever buried Paul, wherever that happened and whenever that happened and however that happened, on that day, Christ was magnified. Let it be the case with us today. Jesus died knowing how to act and react to others. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, the thieves, the robbers on either side, they had been railing on him, and the people passing by, including some of the so-called religious Jewish leaders, they were hailing abuse at him and railing on him and shameful speaking. What does the text say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus knew how to act and react. And he did not come down from the cross when he miraculously could have. He did not. Peter said that when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. He could have acted and reacted in all the worst kinds of ways under the stress and strain of all of that, but he chose not to. And I would hope that toward the end of our life, there would not be some day like Jesus had where there is some stress and strain. I would hope that we would never have to experience anything like that. But if we did, we would need to act and react properly in a good way. And I hope that we can do that. Even like Stephen, in the midst of being stoned, which would have been painful tremendously, he said in Acts 7 and verse 60, lay not this sin to their charge. But brethren, Jesus knew how to act and react his whole life. Jesus knew how to glorify God in his whole life. He's just simply doing what he's always done. Where was Jesus in Luke chapter 12? He's in the temple, and what does he say? I must be about my Father's business at age 12. He always did that up to his dying day. So we need to have these things in our lives right now. And it will just come naturally on the day when it comes to pass from this life. How did Jesus die? Jesus died knowing Scripture and quoting it. Wow. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? From the Psalms. The same with, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Jesus died with Scripture on his lips. He died talking about Scripture. He died believing in it and it applying and appealing to it. That was the my God, appealing to it for help. Scripture to Jesus was not something that you study in Bible class. Scripture to Jesus was not something you do, well, just in my daily Bible reading. It entered into his life. It was every part of his life. It invaded him and pervaded him. His whole life was filled with Scripture.
And the quotation of, he's not hanging on the cross. Oh, wait a minute, let me look that up. He had committed it to mind, like the psalmist said, I meditate on your word day and night. It was every part. Brethren, we need to be so filled with Scripture
that it is coming to our mind in our dying day. I'm
fearful, brethren, that some, not here, but I'm fearful that Hosea 4:6, we're going to be destroyed for a lack of knowledge. There are many people, including some brethren, I fear, that don't know their Bible. They don't want to read every day. They certainly don't want to apply it every day. And we can do better than that. It should be constantly on our mind. And thank you, Roger Cole, for lately, his prayers are full of Scripture. Have you noticed that, brethren? Have you noticed that? And then turn to Acts chapter 4, one of the first prayers recorded by the New Testament church. Part of the prayer is quotations of Scripture, Acts chapter 4. And I've been so impressed and moved by Roger's prayers lately because they're full of Scripture. The Bible to Jesus was not some secondary thing. If I get to it, I'll look it up. It was His life. And so in Acts chapter 4, verse 25 and 26, that prayer of the New Testament church quoting Scripture. Do we? Will we? I don't know. I wasn't there with my father when he passed away. I was with him just a few weeks before. I don't know if he said anything to my brother Mark. He was staying with Mark and his family out in Long Beach. I don't know what was said or done. I wouldn't be surprised if he brought up some Bible verse on his last day. Because I can tell you for a fact, about 3 weeks before, he was bringing up Bible verses when he was with me. My father was known to be full of the Word of God. I'm so glad that he instilled that in his sons who were preaching the gospel. It needs to be so much in our life that we're bringing it up on our dying day. Can we do that? Jesus died knowing how to think of others. Turn to John chapter 19, 26 and 27. Woman, behold thy son. He wanted his mother Mary to be taken care of by John. He thought of others. First of all, the whole death on the cross is thinking of others in saving mankind from their sins. And he's also thinking of his mother. He wants her to be taken care of. I don't know how many times people pass from this life and it's all about them. Jesus was constantly thinking of others. But brethren, this is my point again. These things on his dying day, he always had it. He always thought of others during his ministry. He always quoted Scripture. We need to die like we're living. And if that's going to be a problem, we need to change our living. What a great thing to think of others. Unlike Luke chapter 12, the rich farmer. What was the rich farmer thinking? Oh, well, I've built barns and bigger barns, and it's about my money and about my things. There's nothing wrong with good business. Jesus is not condemning good business practices. He's warning against, verse 14, covetousness. And this man was so covetous that he's thinking about himself. And when it came time for the Lord to say to him, thy foolish one, this night is thy soul required of thee. The things which you have prepared, material things, whose shall they be? You can't take them with you. So he was thinking of himself. And the other person that comes to my mind is the rich man in Luke 23:46. I'm sorry, Luke 16:19.
Luke 16:19. Fared sumptuously every day. He's not thinking about his soul. He's not thinking about Lazarus. Lazarus is sitting at his gate. He doesn't care about Lazarus. We live in a selfish world. We need to raise our children to be selfless, not selfish. We need to practice that ourselves. Doing good for others, sharing for others, caring for others. And we'll find ourselves even doing that on our dying day. Learning from Jesus how to die. And then one last thing. Turn with me to Luke 23:43. How did Jesus die? Jesus died knowing that he would live on and he knew where he was going. To the thief he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So I ask the question, do we know where we're going? Well, I hadn't really thought about that. We'll start thinking about that. Jesus knew that he was going to paradise. That's not haughtiness or boastfulness or pride. That's confidence by the life that he lived. And we need to have that same approach. Number one, we know that we're going to die, Hebrews 9:27. Number two, we know what the two choices are after we die, heaven or hell. And number three, you can know which one you're choosing right now. Your conscience tells you right now where you're headed. Do you know that? What does your conscience say right now as to where you're headed? Now, Paul talks about a defiled conscience. Unless our conscience is defiled, unless our conscience is hardened, our conscience right now is telling you where you're headed. And where I'm headed. And if we're uncertain about that, we need to change that immediately. Jesus knew where he was headed. And if there's a little doubt or uncertainty about that matter, then we need to change. Paul said that it is far better for me to depart and be with Christ. Philippians 1:23. He knew where he was headed. 2 Corinthians 5:8. I can depart and be with the Lord. He knew where he was headed. 2 Timothy 4:8. From henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He knew where he was headed. And there are so many people, unfortunately, maybe even brethren, that don't know. I don't know. We need to change that. If there is some sin in our life, we need to get that out. If it's something that we need to let other people know about, let's get that out. If we've not been scripturally baptized into Christ, we need to do that. Jesus died with confidence and knowing where he was going, and you can do the same. We must have that same approach of Jesus and even the Apostle Paul. Yes. When I depart, I'm going to go be with Christ. If there's a question mark there, let's change it and make it an exclamation mark. If there's a question mark, change it and make it an exclamation point. But we're going to have to obey the gospel and we're going to have to live right in order to do that. Paul wrote in Philippians 3:10, I want to be becoming like him in his death. And we need to be doing the same. These are the ways that Jesus died. These are the ways that he would want us to pass from this life. If you're subject to the invitation, if we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?